$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
Hello, Rick, and Brian Higgins.
Ahoy, hoy.
And including this episode, countdown tally at 6.
Oh.
6 episodes to go.
Is our final episode going to be a full review it or a mini
episode? It's going to be a mini. It's going to be fun. We're going to go over. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
There's a full agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to follow Robert's rule of orders.
There will be an agenda at some point.
Good.
But anyways, that's 6 episodes to go. We are focused on the present.
Oh.
And that's where our story started.
But we're focused on our previous episode. In the past.
In the past. Well, that's where the movie we did the full reviews of eventually went to.
Yeah.
But
to
we
the future.
Started in the present of 1993.
Yeah.
So it is kind of in the past. We're just time traveling all over the place. Much like Turtles in Time. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. The full reviews it we just recently did.
Remember that?
That was just last week. I hope you do.
I mean,
or
some
you
people,
have Alzheimer's.
Some people are probably a few episodes behind, and they're they're listening.
Why
in
would
the
they
car.
Jump to this one?
It's just rolling through. So like they just finished it, and now we're talking about it like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
And for them, they're just like that was 3 minutes ago.
Oh yeah. They're going by the time theory used in this movie. Makes no sense.
Exactly.
So it just jumps all over the place.
That is true. It does not make sense.
So on that topic, any kind of further thoughts about the movie?
No.
That you've had since we.
The only thing is I did so for the first time ever.
Yeah. Ooh, mark in the history books.
I watched a part of the movie again after watching it. So like none of the other previous movies. I mean, unless they were on TV, so like Batman or something, I've probably watched. But none of the crappier movies I've watched again. This one, I literally fast forwarded to that 1 hour and 14 minute mark and just watched the extra. Just go back and forth, and I was like, "This is the greatest
scene
ever."
You just watched that scene of that guy walking
the disaffected sentry.
Yes, yeah.
The best scene of the movie. Just watch the guy in the background. You'll laugh. You'll cry.
And then jump forward to see Raphael's face when the bad guy gets knocked off the thing.
Yeah, perfect.
I'd like to think that and his name is escaping me right now, the director of this movie, he just kind of puts that character in all of his movies he directs. The sentry who walks back and forth. I hope he made like a romantic comedy and there's just a sentry from feudal Japan walking back and forth.
Stuart Gillard.
Stuart Gillard, yes.
Make that your director trademark,
exactly.
Stuart.
It's his
Alfred
Spado.
Hitchcock.
Spado?
Spado.
Spado?
Spader? No, there was a movie, one of the directors we did in lots of movies, like the what guy that directed Sudden Death. And his trademark in every movie is he had a character named Spoda.
Yeah.
Soda.
He was in Time Cop.
Yeah.
And he was in every single movie.
Shared universe.
Spoda. So we have pacing sentry.
Yeah.
The pacing sentry. Yeah.
This is kind of like a diet Spoda.
Yeah. That's exactly. Now, Brian, one of the things that I was, and I think we can kind of clarify as we brought up during the full reviews it, is we were talking about the changes of tones between the three movies in this trilogy. And one of the things that I want to kind of just double check is because I believe you had mentioned and you said that the first movie came out before the cartoon series. But I feel like I didn't get into the Ninja Turtles until the cartoon series started and then went to go see the movie.
I might have been wrong about that.
Yeah,
I don't
think
it came out before the cartoon series, but it didn't have the full influence
the
of
same
the cartoon
tone,
series.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't influenced by it, but I'm pretty sure the cartoon series did start before they started releasing
They probably were starting creation fairly in tandem, I wouldn't be surprised.
Rick, you want to check those dates for us?
Well, I'm guessing they probably started the movie around the same time that they started the action figures.
Yes.
In terms of pre-production, at least. The action figures to the cartoon, like design-wise, they're kind of not very close.
Especially when the movie came out, I remember they re-released or they came out with new action figures where the cartoon ones were plastic and they had a certain green tone. And then they had the movies came out that were more rubbery.
Yeah.
With like little spots on them that kind of look more like the
suits.
Which
they went full spots in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, they did.
I kind of remember this. The cartoon was definitely before the movies.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, because so, I saw the movie because I liked the cartoon.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
So the cartoon started in 87.
Okay.
And then the movie, the first movie came out in 90.
Oh, okay, wow. Right. That's,
yeah.
So they built up the following for the first movie. But then if you look at it, the first movie was, it was awesome in regards to even being part of the, I guess you call it universe, but it was much darker. I'll call it grittier because, I mean, it was like you had other things going on, the burning building, like things happening. And the whole backstory, it wasn't like, oh, Shredder's an evil guy. It was he killed the his master
dark,
and all this stuff. And it was actually, it was a really good movie.
Well, that's the thing. And it's weird because so the original one came out in 90. And I remember at the time being a kid, I loved Ninja Turtles. But for some reason, even at my age of like 9, 10, 11, I had a bit of skepticism where I had a fear that the movie was not going to be as good, or like them interpreting into a movie, I perhaps might have not enjoyed it as much as the cartoon if they didn't handle it right.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the movie, I said, that was awesome. They did a great job. Different tone. I loved it.
Yeah, they did
their
own
thing. But
there
was a fear that they could have been mistreated for the movie treatment.
They created something new with the characters, and it just became its own entity, which is great. And then the second one was good. It was not
changing tone.
It was changing.
Yeah, it was
going towards the comics,
the cartoon,
the cartoon.
Yes,
because
basically they had what was it, Razor and
Toka and Razor,
and they're
instead
like,
of,
well, we can't have Bebop and Rocksteady, so let's get these two guys.
Right. So then the third one was what I kind of would say they were trying to bridge the gap back to the first one. They did a kind of a weird, like, we're
like
going to do this.
Let's bring back Casey Jones. He was in the first one.
Right. Let's bring back original characters. Let's try to make it a little bit of funny, a little bit grittier, less like less of the second one, but they failed. I mean, it was not.
Yeah.
It was
tone was all over the place.
Yeah,
it felt way too cartoony.
Yeah, it
was very cartoony.
Like it's been a long time since I've watched any of the cartoon, but I feel like in the later years they got into like here's the wacky special guest stars from the Mighty Mutanimals, and like we're gonna travel through time in different dimensions. And
I don't remember that.
No,
as
I don't
much.
Remember that too, but I can picture that happening. That could definitely
Have been. I don't remember. I mean, I remember watching it for a few years at least, but like I don't remember the end of it too much.
No, I think I probably started to fade off in the later couple seasons something, but
when did the cartoon show end?
Yeah, right? When did it end? Do you have that right?
It ended in,
like, I want to feel like it ended around the time of the second movie. That would be my prediction.
96. No.
Whoa,
three more years.
Wow.
It kept going awkwardly.
It kept going and going.
Forgot that Uncle Phil was Shredder.
Yeah.
Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. James Avery was Shredder for 106 episodes.
And who did DJ Jazzy Jeff play? Was he the Rat King?
I'm going to have to look up the full cast list to see if he's even in here.
But that's a 9-year run for the cartoon.
Wow. That's
pretty God. And then the person who took over for Shredder was Jim Cummings.
Oh. Famous voice actor, Jim Cummings. Like we saw in this full reviews it, and another film series that we'll be wrapping up before we say adieu, just diminishing returns as the sequels came. It just kept getting wackier and crazier, and you really kind of appreciate the nowadays if you have the trilogies. I'll just say example, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where you have the same director handling all three movies because they have an idea of what the tone is and what it should be throughout the trilogy.
Correct.
But sometimes when you switch up the directors, they're going to take their own unique take.
Well, and it takes a lot for three movies to be solid movies. So like the Dark Knight trilogy.
Right.
Where all three movies, I mean,
and they
I guess,
were all directed by Christopher Nolan.
Exactly.
So he
tied it in, but it takes so much effort to get those movies to be three good movies.
Right.
This trilogy, it's kind of like the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one sets the base.
I like two a lot.
Two is not as, on a technical level, not as good, but I probably prefer watching it.
Yeah, I'd rather watch two.
And then three?
I don't remember
they're
three.
Really
what
trying.
Was three?
They were,
that's when
they were kind of trying something new.
They got to go to a private school. And then
was that the Olympics
and
one?
Then, no, that was D2. The second one.
That was
they
D2.
Went to a private school, and then
yeah, first
Gordon
they conquered
Bombay
their,
is not their coach anymore.
First they conquer their district.
Yeah.
Then they conquer the world. Then they have to battle the varsity team.
Yeah, they all got scholarships.
Like
to
it was
a private
the
school.
Scale. The scale changed quite a bit.
I don't understand
but it's,
that.
It's. I don't. It
know
reminds
if I've
me a lot of this
third
trilogy.
One. I mean, maybe I probably have
it's
seen
not
it, but
I will watch D3 before I will watch
20 years.
I'll watch D3 before I'll watch TMNT3.
Before
we jump into fun facts, I just want to point out a fun fact of my own, because I was trying to look up pictures from the Ninja Turtles cartoon and just looking on IMDb, and there's so many characters I don't recognize.
Oh, really?
From the stills. But then as I scroll down.
Oh, do they not have their names?
They don't have their names.
Okay.
But as I scroll down, there's Toka and Rezar.
Yeah, I feel like they added them later.
They appeared in
one
episode, apparently, called Dirk Savage Mutant Hunter.
Yeah, probably after the movie came out, and they're like, we need to retcon this.
Yeah. All right, so here's a super long insight into the proposed fourth movie of the series.
Oh!
So originally there was going to be a fourth installment called TMNT The Next Mutation. In this one, the ooze that transformed the turtles in Splinter was still going to be in their bodies and start to cause a drastic second mutation. Oh, my God. And then they were discussing adding a fifth turtle named Kirby in honor of comic artist Jack Kirby. However, the project got stuck in development.
Because of Kirby, the inflatable cloud person?
No, because of Jack Kirby, famous comic book artist.
Creator of many of your favorite Marvel characters.
And then the concept of having the turtles mutate into creatures did see the light in the new mutation saga of the cartoon series in 1987. But later they would do a live-action Next Mutation installment that became a live-action television movie produced by Saban. I never knew how to say that. It was called Saban's Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation from 1997.
I don't remember that.
And then the series promised to deliver a fifth turtle, but changed it to a female turtle named Venus de Milo.
Yeah. So
whoa.
I never watched
moly.
This.
What?
But I remember it happening.
I don't remember it at all.
I never heard of this.
I mean, I
whatsoever.
Guess right around
I
then,
mean,
that's when we're going to high school.
Do you remember
the
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming out of their shells tour?
Yes, I think I remember seeing clips of that or
the
something.
The name is familiar.
It's when they did a concert tour.
Yes. Right.
Did you go to it?
It was like Beatlemania.
I wanted to, but
well,
I don't
you're
think
younger,
I was able to.
You're younger than us,
yeah,
so
I'm
it would have been
years younger.
It would have been we would have been in high school. You would have been like smack dab early middle schoolish.
I wonder what kind of venues they were playing, because I can only picture Chuck E. Cheese, like a Chuck E. Cheese tour.
I bet
the animatronics of Chuck E. Cheese are better.
We went through like the Worcester Centrum.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So like not your major stadiums or venues or such.
They did the Lowell Songus Arena.
Your AAA ballparks.
We mentioned this. For this film, the All Effects Company took over, worked on the animatronic effects for the Turtles and Splinter. Previously, Jim Henson's Creature Shop was the company who worked on the mutant creatures in the previous two movies. And it showed.
Yeah.
Mark Caso, who was the performer inside Leonardo, is the only cast member to return from Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze. Brian Tochi and Robbie Rist,
registered trademark,
who are the voices of Leonardo and Michelangelo, are the only actors who appeared in all three movies in the trilogy.
Robbie Rist actually voiced Jet McCabe for one episode in the cartoon series.
Shared universe.
So this is interesting. Our good buddy, friend of the podcast, Corey Feldman, did we ever wonder why he was not the voice of Donatello in the second movie?
You know, I never wondered that.
Well,
I do now.
The producers did invite him to reprise his role for this one. They felt bad that they didn't cast him for TMNT2, Secret of the Ooze. However, when Corey asked for more money than the $1,500 he was paid on the original movie, Corey was told, yeah, but you were in rehab. Corey was denied the raise and then was again only paid $1,500. $1,500?
Wait,
he was paid?
He did the first
movie.
The good
movie. For $1,500.
For $1,500.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then he wanted more money.
I wonder if he's got to get residuals, though.
Oh, this was the fun thing I brought up during the movie. So at one point in the movie, one of the turtles referred to Walker, Stuart Wilson, as the Zorro dude. Wilson later starred in The Mask of Zorro in 1998. As Zorro's arch nemesis, Don Rafael Montero.
Oh, Donatello.
Donatello.
Rafael. And Montero.
Montero.
The fifth turtle.
The concept of this movie is loosely based on a story called Masks, which is from issue 46 and 47 of the original Mirage Comics. The story features the turtles in Rennet, I don't know who that is, traveling back to feudal Japan to fight an evil shogun and engage in samurai battles. So I guess that this was based on a comic book plot?
I'm guessing that one was more violent.
Yes, I'm guessing so as well.
Well, most of the comics were.
In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, Mitsu was supposed to appear as one of the fighters in the Super Nintendo game Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters from 1993. However, the character in the game was renamed as Asuka. The animatronic heads, hey guys, if you want to know, if you want to chase these down, the animatronic heads of Michelangelo and Leonardo from this movie are now in the hands of an obsessed Turtles fan named Michelle Ivy. She bought them for $3,800 US.
That's not that much. Like, not that I think they're worth more when you look at the quality of the animatronic.
Yeah.
But that's pretty affordable.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
But, I mean, she wasn't able to get the Raphael one with his odd face.
With his mouth that gets stuck.
Yeah.
This is the only live-action Turtles movie where a theme song was not specifically written for it.
Oh.
And then finally, one of the things we brought up, and this talked to the confusion over the subtitle that wasn't really the official subtitle.
Correct.
In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, Turtles in Time is the theme for the first Super Nintendo game.
Yes.
The second arcade game, the third movie, and the fourth video game for a Nintendo home console. The first three were made for the original NES. So there we go. Fun facts.
Cool.
About TMNT3.
You know what always confused me was Turtles and Battletoads.
Oh, yeah. That was like their ripoff, like one they were trying to. Didn't they release a game where it was like a. No, that was Battletoads and Double Dragon.
Yes.
They put them together. The other thing that was kind of like, we talked about being fans of the cartoon. At one point, they had the frogs that were their friends.
Yeah.
Remember that? And their names were like Attila and Rasputin. They were named after like dictators and conquerors as opposed to painters. There was Attila the Frog.
I don't.
There was Rasputin.
Genghis
Frog. Rasputin.
Yes.
And Napoleon Blown Apart.
Yes.
No.
I don't think I had Rasputin as an action figure, but I think I had Genghis Frog and maybe Napoleon Blown
I don't think
apart.
They released Attila the Frog as one. It was just two of them. I think they only released two of them. All right, gentlemen, so now is the time where we connect the last movie we did to the current one. Now, Rick and I were talking earlier.
I have many
two steps that lead
to Bill Murray.
To Bill Murray. Oh. Our previous movie was Scrooge.
Yeah.
It was our Christmas movie.
Yep.
And this is TMNT3.
I have a connection.
I have a direct connection.
I'm going to let you guys get to your connections.
We both
first.
Have direct connections.
Yes.
So, Rick, why don't you go first?
Stuart Walker Wilson.
Yes.
I don't have a name for her, but Mary Ellen Trainer is in Lethal Weapon 3.
Yes, she's the psychiatrist.
So they're both in Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh.
He's the evil guy.
Mary Ellen Trainer was in Scrooge.
Yes.
She was like the weird kind of love interest at the office at the beginning.
It was a very weird thing.
My direct connection.
Yes.
Scrooged. Bill Murray goes to the homeless shelter. Anne Ramsey. Mama Fratelli's there.
Oh, yes.
And obviously, Corey Feldman, the Goonies.
Oh.
Goonies connection.
Oh, very
cool. Corey Feldman is just doing voice work here.
But hey, he's technically in the movie.
All right, we'll give it to you.
What do you got,
my
Brian?
Connection is not actors. It's just a spiritual connection.
Okay.
Because Ninja Turtles, I believe 1994, I want to say, released a Christmas special.
Oh, they did, huh?
A live-action Christmas special called We Wish You a Turtle Christmas.
Oh, that's fun.
And a happy Casey Jones.
With Bill Murray.
This is a random clip from some point in the middle of this special.
Oh, I like it.
Point out to you guys that there are only 2 hours of shopping left before Christmas.
What is going on?
Oh no! He's turning into that opera guy again.
This is frightening me. What is going on?
We're watching this video and it's.
It's Christmas Eve.
Their mouths are so wide and stuck in a thick smile position.
Is this like when NBC did like Peter Pan
this
or
is
whatever?
Like a weird live
this
fever
is worse.
Dream.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Oh my God. What year is that from?
I think 94.
Oh, wow.
All right.
So that was right after this movie.
I'm going to give him the star for a spiritual connection.
And the connection is because Scrooge was a Christmas movie? Is that the connection?
So yeah. We Wish You a Turtle Christmas was a 25-minute live-action Christmas special released direct-to-video in 94. The plot. It's Christmas Eve and the Ninja Turtles have accidentally forgotten to get Splinter a gift.
Oh, no.
The Turtles argue about who was supposed to get the gift. Unfortunately, the stores are closing, so they don't have much time.
I made a funny.
The Turtles go above the surface, apparently undisguised, and decorate a tree in Times Square, which is what was happening.
They did not appear to be in disguise in that video.
Yeah, Michelangelo sings some opera, much to the others' annoyance. After Mikey stops singing, they go to a store to buy the gift. They suggest comic books, video games, and yo-yos, but end up buying a framed plastic pizza. While wrapping the gift, they sing the rap.
Of course.
Splinter accepts the gift and compliments his students for their thoughtfulness and giving spirit. Splinter invites his sons and a bunch of children, who he apparently invited over for Christmas, to sing his own version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
They invited them to the sewer?
Apparently.
All right.
What? Come to the sewer, children.
So do you want to know what the 12 days of Christmas are?
Yes. Oh, I do.
On the 12th day, you get 12 April O'Neil autographs.
Oh, okay.
11 pairs of sneakers.
Okay.
10 yellow yo-yos.
Wait, if there are 12 kids, so one kid doesn't get shoes?
They're not going to the kids. This is part of the
This
song.
Is all for Splinter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
9 narrow neckties. 8 chopsticks.
Okay.
7 silk kimonos.
Oh, nice.
6 frisbees.
Okay.
5 video games.
Yay.
Are they the same video games?
4 manhole covers. 3 skateboards. Oh. 2 comic books.
Yay.
And a pizza with pepperoni.
Oh, I like that. That's nice. I like the ending.
Not plastic, though.
No.
Okay, well, there
you
go.
So it's a shame that we are not continuing another year to cover this for our next Holiday Reviews It.
Thank you for that, Brian. Not to put so much pressure on you, but give me more. What else do you have for us?
Oh, I had an idea for
tell
a little game
more,
we can play.
More.
Okay, so this game, we're kind of combining some of our favorite features.
Ooh.
Oh, I like it.
Because we love our IMDb keyword game.
Yes.
And we love our parents' guide in the Reviews It.
Oh, yeah.
We love them.
So this is called.
We haven't done one of those in a while.
This is called the Parents Guide Game.
Ba-dum-bum.
So the way this is going to work is I am going to read you items out of the Parents Guide, and you are going to guess what the movie is.
Okay.
We are going to use the theme comic book movies.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Because this will cover some movies that we might have covered in the podcast, some movies that we might never cover in the podcast, movies that have come out too recently for the podcast, and so on.
Oh. And what's our guessing system here?
You are going to say your name.
Beep, beep.
You say your own name to ring in.
Okay.
And if you ring in and you guess incorrectly, the other person is going to get one more clue and they can guess after that. If they do not guess correctly, then it's open.
Okay.
Season
back
again.
In. Okay.
Beep boop beep.
And so we'll start with the content rating. This film is rated PG-13.
Oh.
For sequences of intense action and some suggestive content.
Oh. My favorite kind.
Sex and nudity. No sex or nudity show in movie. A woman take off her clothes, her bra and panties visible. One mild kissing scene. Bare chest of a man show few time.
I love the grammar.
Some mild fight scenes with minimal but usually no blood.
This is a comic book movie?
Yes. Profanity. Hard ass. GD. Damn used a few times. Alcohol, drugs, smoking. There are a few scenes set in a bar where people are seen holding glasses or ordering drinks.
Beep, boop, beep.
Just say your name. I'm not going to
pay
for the beeps.
Oh, hi. Hi, I'm Rick. I'm trying to think. There was one where Wolverine was in the bar. Oh, no. No, no, no. I got it. Iron Man 3.
That is incorrect.
Oh, because they ordered drinks
there. You get one more.
I get one more. Okay.
The villain, I'm leaving names out because sometimes names are in here.
Yep.
The villain shoots an electrical lightning bolt through a man, leaving a noticeable hole.
Mark.
Yes.
The Incredible Hulk.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
So it's back open. The scene where one of the main characters changes to the monster may be mildly upsetting or intense.
Mark.
Yes.
Fantastic Four.
That is correct.
Ah.
How did they go to a bar?
The Thing and Human Torch go to a bar?
Oh, right? That's right. That's right.
Starring friend of the podcast, Chris Evans. And I don't know if he's actually our
friend,
but
he's from the area.
P People we know people who know him. So we're gonna
claim
it.
2 degrees removed.
Like the removed.
Okay. Our next movie is rated PG-13.
Okay.
For strong stylized action.
Ooh.
Okay, let's start with a sex and nudity. A female character wears some revealing clothing during the first half that reveals much of her shoulders and cleavage.
Her shoulders.
The main character and that female character kiss passionately in several scenes.
Mm.
The villain comically rubs his crotch in one scene.
What?
Let's get to some violence and gore. Yeah, there's lots of action/violence fighting. A couple of people are electrocuted, not to death nor anything graphic.
Okay.
Some scenes of
some
people being shot, no blood/gore. Someone is hit over the head and dropped out a window. A family falls to their death.
What? Mark.
Yes.
Batman Forever.
That is correct.
Hey!
Oh,
the Graysons.
Man.
The Flying Graysons.
Mark has a 2-0 lead.
2-0.
Commanding lead.
All right, our next movie is rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence, gunplay, and action throughout.
Okay.
Under sex and nudity, a scene with manhandling.
Oh,
I don't,
my.
Okay.
Some detailed manhandling.
Characters drink champagne occasionally in between the action. There are several intense scenes throughout the film where the characters are in danger. Yes.
Age of Ultron.
That is incorrect.
That was what I was thinking, too. Like at that party
at the beginning.
Two uses of the S word, but it's not extremely audible because of explosions. A few other uses of milder language, such as son of a bitch, ass, damn, and hell. And one use of oh my god. There's relatively little language overall.
Okay,
so that's all I get for my one extra?
That's your one extra.
Then I will say the original Marvel's The Avengers.
That is incorrect.
Okay. That didn't give me much.
I don't remember them drinking.
Yeah, that didn't give me much, though. So
yeah, it's okay.
The drinking doesn't give you much either.
Yeah.
Scads of people are hit, kicked, shot, stabbed, thwacked with heavy objects, and caught in explosions.
Thwacked.
Huge warships fire on each other and crash into buildings.
A mark.
Oh.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
That's correct.
Yay!
I knew it.
That was the first
we were on the
three
right
and
path.
A half lines out of like a 15 line summary there.
Yeah. We knew we were following it with Marvel.
We were going down the release dates. I do believe that would be 3-0.
I know. I had to guess early in that one, but I was wrong.
I was thinking the same thing.
I know. That's why I guessed
same
early.
Page.
All right. I don't know what this movie's rated. Let me check. It is rated PG.
Are you doing TV movies as well?
No.
I hope not.
Sex and nudity. A woman holds up a newspaper which shows a topless woman wearing panties on her knees with her hands folded. Her arms obscure her nipples.
Okay. That don't ring a bell.
Nope.
Profanity. One use of god-awful. One use of damn. And a female character tells her dad to stuff it.
Oh, no.
Alcohol, drugs, smoking. A villain smokes a cigar in many scenes. Wine is prepared.
Hmm. Wine is prepared. So are they stepping on the grapes?
Stepping on the grapes, yeah.
I don't remember
They're
this.
Shipping it from Italy.
Frightening/intense scenes. The film is very, very ridiculous and silly. A villain may be intense for some viewers, but for the most part, the entire film is pretty good for family viewing.
Okay.
The villain cuts the hero on the back of the neck with his claws. Blood is shown for a brief moment.
Rick.
Yes.
Is it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original? With
no.
Shredder?
A woman acts very flirtatiously with a man and wears revealing clothing when around him. When asking another woman how her dress looks, the other woman says, illegal.
It's your guess. Go nuts.
The Spirit?
That is incorrect.
No. All
right, it's open. And pretty much I'm down to,
okay.
I have to be very obvious.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So the fights between the hero and Nuclear Man could be intense.
Mark.
Oh.
Superman 4.
Oh, yes, do you have the full title?
Quest for Peace.
Okay, yes.
Damn it.
Oh, he had really long fingernails. They weren't really claws. They had really long fingernails.
Take it up with the Parents Guide writers. This next movie is
very
rated
wholesome.
PG.
Okay.
Is it Homeward Bound?
Oh.
Several shooting scenes, all completely bloodless.
Okay.
Sounds like an episode of The A-Team.
Yeah.
A woman wears revealing clothing and acts seductive through most of the movie. In one particular scene, she wears only panties and a mesh gown, which slightly cover her breasts, which are visible.
This is
PG. This scene is fairly short, though. Some brief kisses.
This is PG?
This is PG.
That's not the movie I was thinking of then.
Some fist fighting. Very stylized.
I'm going to give Rick a shot. I know this isn't right because it's not PG, but Mark.
Okay.
Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, I know that's a hard R, but that seems like that's of what you said so far.
I know.
All right. Also under sex and nudity, the first name of the protagonist means penis.
All right. Go for it, Rick. Beavis and Butthead, the movie.
hold on. No. All right, so his first name is Schlong. I can't even think of
it. Donatello.
have I seen this movie?
I don't think you have.
That's going to be
But it's one you're aware of.
Okay, you've heard of
it. It's going to be much more difficult for me then.
We'll take a guess.
All right, I'm going to take a guess. The made-for-TV movie of Captain America.
No.
I thought you were going to say the made-for-TV movie of the Nick Fury.
Yes, because because Steve is a common name for a penis.
Steve.
All right, here's another clue.
Rogering.
A basement is blown up, but with no fatalities.
A basement. Well, now that I don't know the movie, I'm even more confused.
I know.
I'm confused.
Many of the criminals have very grotesque appearances, which could frighten kids.
Have I seen this movie?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen it. Okay.
I guarantee you've seen this.
I probably have seen it.
Rick.
Yes.
Dick Tracy.
That is correct.
Yes.
Oh.
I have never seen that.
You never saw Dick Tracy?
No.
Wow.
I was frightened by the grotesque appearances of all the criminals.
Okay.
All right, so was it 3-1?
4-1.
4-1.
4-1. 4-1.
All right, our next one is rated PG-13 for sci-fi action violence.
Ooh,
sci-fi.
Pew-pew.
Oh, that's you calling in. What's your guess?
I meant I had to go pew-pew. I got to take a bathroom break. I'll be right back.
Words like damn, hell, one use of bitch, and one S3 are used in the movie. I think they mean shit.
Mm.
The film is notably more tame than the first installment.
Oh.
There are various scenes of fighting between the villains and the heroes in the film.
X2.
That could be every
Rick,
movie.
X-Men 2.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
A female character can be seen changing her disguises, wearing a midriff short shirt, revealing her stomach and her short skirt while collecting information on a kind of bad guy. Not the main bad guy, but one of them.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Still not correct.
Ah. Jennifer Lawrence had a midriff shirt.
Yeah, well, that's why I was with Mystique, too. Yeah.
Most of the scenes involve the heroes engaging in hand-to-hand combat with ninjas.
Wreck, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Can you be more specific?
Secret of the Ooze.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Mark.
Yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Can you be more specific?
3 Turtles in Time.
That is incorrect.
What?
Okay.
Some of the stronger scenes include a mutant rhino firing a machine gun on a plane and causing it to crash.
Mark.
Wait, didn't you just guess?
No, but it's back.
It's back.
Because you went first.
Oh, you guessed on the same one.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Out of the Shadows.
That's correct. That's why I had to have you be more specific.
The newer ones.
I have never seen those. It's 5-1.
5-1. Working 5-1. Working 5-1.
That's a full day of work, pretty much. It's 7 hours.
This next movie
is worth
6 PG-13. For sequences of violence and action throughout, disturbing behavior, suggestive content, and language.
Oh, wow. That sounds like my kind of movie.
It just means they talk.
The villain of the film wears very skimpy clothing.
Skimpy villain.
A man says, if I get killed, I want you to clear my browsing history.
Oh, I have heard of this.
Hold on. Oh.
Crap.
That's
so familiar.
Rick.
Yes.
Watchmen?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Deadpool?
No.
Ah.
All right, it's back to open claim.
I should have just taken my one clue.
I know.
The film contains numerous scenes of very comical action violence, mostly involving gunfiring and hand-to-hand combat. One character who disobeys order gets killed.
Oh, Mark. Deadpool 2.
That is incorrect.
I swear that T.J. Miller says that.
Okay, I want my free one.
Some characters are transformed from humans to faceless zombie-like creatures.
All right, humans to faceless zombie creatures. Rick.
Yes.
Power Rangers.
No.
Zordon.
A female character says to a man, I sleep where I want, with who I want.
That still sounds
I don't think
like
that's
Watchmen.
An accurate quote either. It's probably I sleep where I want, when I want, with who I want.
Yeah.
Parents Guide. It is mentioned that a character's fetish is pink unicorns.
Mark.
Yes.
Suicide Squad.
That's correct.
Ah.
So now it is 6-1.
6-1.
So we're going to do one final movie.
That's worth 6 points.
That's worth 5 points.
Oh, we,
so
we can
Rick,
get to a tie.
Could tie.
Okay.
Could tie it up.
All right.
This movie's rated PG-13 for intense sequences of action and violence and some partial nudity. Sex and nudity. A woman is seen in a Sheen nightgown.
A Martin Sheen nightgown.
Oh, my. Is he in this movie?
You wish.
I wish
you
Martin.
Want a Spawn answer.
The male character's bare buttocks are shown in a few scenes. Nothing explicit. Profanity. Two uses of ass. One use of asshole.
You just said
two uses of bullshit.
Uses of ass.
One use of son of a bitch. One use of shit. One possible use of shithead. Somewhat muffled. There is a scene in a crowded bar. Several background characters are seen drinking. The appearance of some of the mutants may frighten some viewers.
Mark.
Yes.
X-Men First Class.
Incorrect.
Ah.
The scene in which the elderly couple is killed by Zero is quite disturbing and gives you a sort of hatred for Zero.
Elderly couple killed?
This is a movie I barely remember. So I don't know if that's a good clue or not.
Wait a second.
Well, elderly that's your clue. Couple.
So I've seen this movie.
I think so, probably.
Mm.
I doubt it's one that you watch very often, though.
This is worth a lot of points, so I need to think about this. But I have a free guess right now, right?
You yep. got a guess.
I'll say X-Men.
That's incorrect.
Mark!
You don't want another hint?
Nope. First? X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That is correct.
He hides in the barn. The old guy gives him his son's motorcycle and the jacket.
Oh,
Stryker and Zero come and they kill that old couple.
I don't remember who Zero is.
He's
kind of
like a bullseye. You can just shoot from anywhere and hit the target.
I did not remember that part.
He's based on Agent Zero from the comics.
Oh.
I did not remember that movie or that part.
Me neither.
But I remember it was Wolverine.
But do you remember that Mark has 11 points?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
I'm charming clean. I'm charming clean.
Mark just made it so any other games we play for the duration of the podcast will be entirely weighted against him so we don't have to hear that song and see that dance again.
That's true.
The Charmin victory
dance. I'm pretty sure you just shit yourself on my chair.
No, yeah. No, yeah. And then you just kind of rubbed it into the chair.
Yeah, there's only a few episodes
and I'm Charmin
left.
Clean.
I'm going all out.
Charmin yeah. clean.
All right, gents. Let's move on. Thank you, Brian. That was a fun game.
You're welcome.
Especially fun because I won. Moving on. All right, gentlemen. Now we get to enjoy the fun of stack ranking this
movie.
Boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it. Love it.
So
love
I
it.
Know at one point, Brian, you said this was kind of on par with an Ernest movie. And I said, no, it's better than an Ernest Scared Stupid, at least.
But well, Ernest Scared Stupid is last
was,
on
yeah,
our
exactly.
list.
Exactly.
I would probably watch Ernest Saves Christmas before I'd watch this one.
Well, that there's a different scale of Ernest movies. I'm saying it's better than
let
Scared
me,
Stupid.
Let me ask
I know
a
that's
question.
The last of our list.
Let me ask a question.
Ask a question.
Would you rather watch Waterworld or this movie?
They're kind of on par. I don't know.
So this is why I'm thinking it's almost.
What do you think, Rick?
Well,
I think we need to get to a point
so
where
the thing.
I would watch one of the movies.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I would watch probably. Well, no, I would have to pay for this. Or Waterworld. So I don't
no,
think I'd
you
watch,
watch
either.
This free on YouTube. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true. Well, then if I could watch this free on YouTube, I would probably watch this over Waterworld.
Okay.
But I would not watch. So the after
next,
Waterworld
though?
Is Spy Hard.
Oh,
and
that was
I
bad.
That wasn't great.
It was not a great movie, but I would rather watch Spy Hard because I don't have to pay any attention to it, and I would just hear
you
some funny
really
things.
You don't have to pay attention to this movie, too.
Oh, my gosh, I do.
I feel like you don't.
I mean, I didn't.
You yeah. didn't, yeah.
So then next, Big Trouble in Little China. I mean, I think I'd rather watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. We're getting to, like, I would rather watch this.
Yeah.
Over
yes.
This.
Keep going. I'm just
right.
curious.
License to Drive.
Oh, License. I like License to Drive.
Ernest.
I'm the only one.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
And you said you would rather watch Ernest.
Because I will watch a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Before I'll watch Ninja Turtles 3.
And then what's above Ernest?
Blank Man.
Here's the two things I'm proposing, and you guys can make the final decision. Either under License to Drive or under Big Trouble in Little China.
So basically, it's either going to be 71 or 72.
Yeah, one of those spots. I mean, I don't dislike Big Trouble as much as you.
This is our 75th movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know my thoughts on Big Trouble.
Yes.
So I would put it under Big Trouble.
Brian?
I mean, it's definitely under License to Drive.
Yes, well, I agree.
Actually, you know what?
Actually, I might watch it before License to Drive.
I'm sorry. By under, I meant it's above.
It's better.
Yeah, it's better.
It's better than License to Drive?
No. Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
So okay. I would put it under License to Drive. Well, no, I don't like a License to Drive. All right, so fine. It's 70. I'd put it at 70. I'd put it above License to Drive.
Below
Ernest Saves Christmas.
Just
under
like a cult.
License to Drive.
Yeah.
I say under License to Drive.
I don't think, I'd rather watch this than License to Drive.
I feel like we outrule Mark a lot, so yeah. I'm willing to, he seems passionate about this one.
Get License to Drive wins.
Yeah.
He's treating License to Drive the way I treat Blank Check.
Yes, like, exactly.
You
know, all right.
You have your movies that you're protective
this
of.
This was right. Learning how to drive movie.
It was a bad movie.
All right, so I'm going to say License to Drive, then TMNT 3, then Big Trouble in Little China.
So in the Coreyverse, you're saying that License to Drive is better than this.
We get to see Corey in that one.
Okay.
We get to see his face. Do we have time for a little segment of, oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
How about the guy that originally went back in time? What was his name? Kenshin?
Yes.
We could look up both Kenshin and Mitsu, the two Japanese feudal lovers.
Well, Kenshin is Eden Hanzel, Hanzai, sorry. Okay. And he has been in 42 credits.
Wow. Pretty good.
So he has he's in a short in 2018 called Interface.
Okay. Still doing stuff?
Nah, he's been in a couple of TV series, Young and the Restless.
My stories.
He's played a couple of just single parts. In Boston Legal, he played Dr. Lee. Brotherhood. And then he was in Sergeant Bilko.
Martin.
He played Technician Number One.
Excellent.
So what you're saying is we should cover Sergeant Bilko next
week.
So that we can have a direct connection,
Sergeant Bilko.
Oh, my God. He was in Jake and the Fat Man.
Nice.
He hasn't really done much.
Okay.
He's made a living. We'll put it that way.
He's a working actor.
Yeah.
All right, Mitsu, his love.
Mitsu is played by Vivian Wu.
Vivian Wu, okay.
Who was born in Shanghai, China. So I have questionable feelings about her being cast as a Japanese character.
Yeah.
But has a lot of acting credits, 70 acting credits.
Wow, good for
including
her.
Some noteworthy ones. So, for example, for our U.S. friends, she was in The Ghost Whisperer, two episodes.
But
her most famous role outside of Ninja Turtles 2 was she was in The Last Emperor. She was also in The Pillow Book in 1996.
Ooh.
Do you want to guess any actors from that one?
The Pillow Book?
Yes.
Is it like
Harry Connick Jr.?
No, Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
Wow, you were close.
I don't know why that was close.
You chose a white guy.
Yeah.
Who can sing?
They both have red hair, right?
And they can sing.
She was on two episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, nice.
One episode of Jag.
Mm-hmm.
One episode of Highlander. One episode of Tales from the Crypt. One episode of L.A. Law. The Joy Luck Club.
Oh, I read that book in high school.
Yeah.
Never saw the movie.
A lot of her credits appear to be Chinese.
Yeah.
A lot of titles that you probably haven't heard of.
All right. I think that was a quick hit of... Oh, where have these actors gone?
Well, there's not really anybody else.
I wish we could find out who the sentry in the background is.
That's true.
That's the person who I want an update on.
I do believe he has a number. Do you know what that number is, gentlemen?
86753.
No, he's Century 21. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Well, dudes, like pizza's on its way, and now it's it's time for one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. And you kids can sing along. Grab a slice. Let's kick it.
Wait, they wish you a year filled with pizza with cheese. Did they say whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
And pickles?
No peas.
No anchovies, though.
And no anchovies?
No anchovies.
Why do you want whipped cream on your pizza?
Well,
turtles, no. Anchovies at least are an accepted pizza topping.
We can ask them right now. The turtles actually just walked in the door.
Oh, hey, turtles.
Hey, guys, it's me, Leonardo, and I'm here with my bros, Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo. Hey, guys, remember that time we made that great holiday special?
Yeah, we were just listening to it.
Oh, well, you know, in January, there's actually a lot of fun holidays as well that we could turtleize.
Oh, I like it.
Like, for example, did you know that January 6th is Cuddle Up Day?
I'm not filming that with you.
Okay. How about January 8th, Bubble Bath Day?
I'm also not filming that with you.
January 8th is also apparently called Male Watchers Day.
Again, we're not doing that movie.
All right.
M-A-I-L or M-A-L-E?
Nope, like the man, M-A-L-E.
Okay.
Then we have January 10th, Peculiar People Day.
Okay.
You fit that category.
Yeah. You've got that down.
January 11th, Step in a Puddle and Splash Your Friends Day.
Okay, we could do that one and be a short.
January 12th, the Feast of Fabulous Wild Men Day. Who wrote this list? January 15th, National Hat Day. We wear bandanas. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, Mikey puts the lampshade on his head.
That's true. That was our old movie.
January 16th, Appreciate a Dragon Day. Those are kind of like our cousins. January 17th, Ditch Your New Year's Resolution Day.
I believe that's already happened.
January 18th, Winnie the Pooh Day.
That's the wrong cinematic universe.
Oh, but we could do it.
Although the turtles did appear at the Disney MGM Studios.
Oh. Well, you know, if you went to go visit them, you know what you could bring? Hmm. A tasty snack, like on January 20th, National Butter Crunch Day.
It's no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pie.
Oh.
I
remember that.
Now I really want one.
Happy Martin Luther Turtle Jr. Day, everyone.
I'll find you one day. Wait for me.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews. It. 6 episodes to go. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Wah! Thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby sentry guards!